Let's first talk about the different types of transactions, because when you just speak of patent licensing, you're skipping over a whole lot of other kind of patent transactions. They were mentioned briefly yesterday as well. There's acquisitions and purchases by venture capitalists, private equity, other companies buying companies. These are often financially driven. This was sort of also mentioned yesterday in terms of ROI and investment. It's a purely financial look at something. A lot of times companies will acquire a bucket of patents or a company because of their revenue stream, and they won't even care about the patent assets. And sometimes the only diligence we're called on to do is to ask, gee, does the company own those patents? They don't even often ask whether they're in force, which is where we have to, as counselors, go back and say, look, if you're looking at these patents to protect anything, we need to do a little bit more homework than just make sure they're owned. Other kinds of transactions involve joint ventures. In that one, you know, some of the AIA issues like Alice are less relevant, right? If both parties are coming into it knowing these patents may or may not be very valuable, may or may not be risky, or they're developing something together, those deals are still moving forward. They're not as impacted, I think, by all the changes in patent law at the court, at the agents, courts, and at the agency here. Strategic licensing or licensing, you know, where you're getting someone to supply something for you, like the Benvenue case you just heard about, might be an example of that. Another example I've seen in the past is a company in the golf ball space developed a polymer technology, had patents to the whole polymer field. It was a new chemical material, and the patent covered the chemical material and had some claims to golf balls made of that, certain layers in the ball. Well, at the end of the day, that company was prepared to license everybody else outside the golf field.